Today's scripture is Matthew 20, 20 through 28. Jesus teaches about serving others. And sorry, I couldn't help but James and John go to their mama and go be like, "Mama, can you get us favor into heaven? Can we sit at the right?" My weird mind is just picturing this out. You know, you had to go to your mama to ask permission. Anyway, so the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask favor. "What is your request?" he asked. She replied, "In your kingdom, will you let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one at your right and the other at your left?" But Jesus told them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of sorrow I am about to drink?" "Oh yes," they replied, "we are able." "You will indeed drink from it," he told them, "but I have no right to say who will sit on the thrones next to mine. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." Then the ten other disciples heard what James and John had asked. They were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, "You know that in this world kings are tyrants and officials lord over the people beneath them. But among you should be quite different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must become your slave. For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others, and to give my life as a ransom for many."
Thank you, Chris, for reading scripture for us this morning. So I need to begin today's sermon with a disclaimer. The passage that we're looking at in Malachi today is one of those weird Old Testament prophecy passages. And so the passage that we're looking at today in Malachi contains a line about dung. more specifically, dung being smeared on the faces of the priests. And so it's kind of weird. And I just want to tell you this up front so you're not, you know, gasping when I read the passage of Scripture. Because it's one of those passages that make you go, "What in the world is going on here?" And so if you're grossed out easily, here's your warning. Feel free to exit the sanctuary at any time. I'll try not to spend too much time on that verse. And so I wanted us to chuckle about it here at the beginning of the sermon, because, you know, the dung part of the story, though it's humorous, is actually kind of serious. And this passage has some pretty big implications for our lives today. But before we get into the passage, I just want to break the ice and tell a personal story about one of my experiences with dung. Hopefully this is okay. I used to work at a summer camp called Twin Pines, as many of you know. And one of the weeks of camp that they offered there was called Lots of Love. It's a camp for people with special needs. And some of the people with special needs, they need help going to the bathroom. And maybe you can tell where this is going. There was one camper in particular who was pretty defiant. He did not like to listen. One time he took the lid off the back of the toilet and smashed it on the ground. And so he gave the staff a pretty hard time. Anyways, he was able to wipe himself, but he still needed some help in the bathroom. And one time I was there helping him. And I turned my back to him, which was my first mistake. And so he ends up wiping some of his dung on my pants when I wasn't looking. And I turn around, and he's just looking up at me with this smirk on his face. And it was kind of funny, you know. I remember going to change and, you know, carrying my pants to the washing machine. But then a day later, he did it again, and this time it wasn't funny. And so, you know, I guess speaking from personal experience, when it comes down to it, there's something that's actually pretty offensive about having dung placed on our bodies. And so that's where we get to the passage in Malachi today. Today's dispute between God and the people of Israel will be more specifically dealing with the priests, and it's really an extension of the dispute that we looked at last week. He's addressing the priests more directly here, and how the priests, who are supposed to be helping people, are actually hurting people, and this is deeply offensive to God. So let me pray for us, and then we'll take a look at today's passage. God, this morning it's fun to laugh together. This passage is a weird one, but it's from your word, and so we will look at it faithfully. I pray that you would speak to us this morning, speak through me, and may we learn from a passage that is as weird as this one. And so I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Malachi. We're going to be spending our time in chapter 2 this morning, so we're done with chapter 1. And we'll be in Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And so today's passage is split up into three parts. First, we will look at God's curse in verses 1 through 3. Then we'll look at God's covenant in verses 4 through 6. And then finally, we'll look at the cause of the curse in verses 7 through 9. If you have a bulletin, you can see those on your outline. Let me read those first three verses of Malachi chapter 2 for us this morning. "And now, you priests, this warning is for you. If you do not listen, and if you do not resolve to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse on you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them, because you have not resolved to honor me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will smear on your faces the dung from your festival sacrifices, and you will be carried off with it." So there it is. And God started off the passage from last week, if you remember, by talking about the respect and the honor that he is due. And so he continues in that vein here in chapter 2. He is warning the priests that if they don't listen to him or to what he is saying, if they don't begin to respect and honor him, that there will be these consequences. You see, the priests were supposed to be the spiritual leaders of Israel. They had a special place among God's people. They had special roles and responsibilities. But they have chosen their own way of doing things over God's way of doing things. And so God says that he will send a curse on them, and that he will curse their blessings, and that he has already cursed them. So this has already started to happen, but will continue. And this is one of those passages that, you know, this seems pretty intense to us, right? Wow, God's cursing people? That seems, you know, so far from what we think God's character should be. But here I'd like to say that God's curse is different from the way that we think about curses. This isn't, you know, a magical spell that God is casting on his people. It's actually simply removing the blessings that he has already given to them. That's why he says, "I will curse your blessings." See, everything that Israel has, the circumstances that they find themselves in here, it's a direct result of God's blessing to them. The fact that they have returned home, the fact that they are rebuilding the temple here in the book of Malachi, these are blessings that God has already given to his people. They're blessings from God. And so for God to curse them simply means that he will stop blessing them. He might stop protecting them. He might stop providing for them. He may even remove his presence from among them. And when that happens, then things will start to go wrong for them. God's curse is the simple leaving of his people to their own devices, simply giving them over to their sin. If the priests want to defy God and to do things their own way, then fine, but they will soon see the destructive nature of their actions. See, this is the same way if you're familiar with the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, right? God gave them over to their sin. Adam and Eve wanted to have the knowledge of good and bad from the tree, fine. But once they received that knowledge, they could no longer stay in God's presence in the garden. You see, when we understand that really everything that we have is a blessing from God, then we can also understand that God's curse is not always the fire raining from the sky, but instead the simple removal of the things that he has already blessed us with. And that, it's a pretty scary thought. And so maybe the best thing that the priests could do, or that we could do to maybe avoid God's curse, is just to be content, to acknowledge that everything that we have, and really everything that we are, is a gift from God, and to allow that gift to produce thankfulness in us. But the priests, they're not content. The priests want more, and more than that, the priests want control. And so in verse 3, we see the passage about the dung being smeared on their faces. Does God mean this literally? Maybe. I don't think so. But it is a little symbolic. To have this dung smeared on their faces would mean for them to be shamed, right? This would be humiliating for them. Just how I was maybe a little humiliated when I had dung smeared on me. The priests had offered defiled sacrifices to God. And so God will, in turn, defile them. They have chosen to dishonor God, and so God will cause them to be dishonored. And more than this, they will be carried off with it. So they will be disposed of. They will be removed from their positions of influence, and they will be cast out. You see, when people, especially those in spiritual leadership, refuse to humble themselves before God, God will humble them himself in time. The sin that the priests had in this passage is pride. They want control. They want to do things their way. But with God, this isn't how it works. God also says that he will rebuke their descendants. So their sin, it not only affects them, but it affects all who will come after them. God's curse is heavy, and these aren't passages that we like to look at. But God, he doesn't present a curse without a chance for redemption. He takes time to remind the priests of what they were supposed to be and what they were supposed to do. And that's why our next section this morning is God's covenant. Let me read verses 4 through 6 for us. And you will know that I have sent you this warning, so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many from sin. See, God's reasoning for bringing this curse on his people is so that his covenant with Levi may continue. God's goal is to purify the priesthood and to restore the priesthood of Israel to what it was supposed to be. God made a covenant with Levi, who was a son of Israel, and Levi's descendants would be one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And my wife helped me put together this diagram to help understand where Levi sits in the family of Israel. And so when the people of Israel, when they made it to the promised land the first time, Joshua, the leader of Israel at that time, he divided up the land amongst the 12 tribes. But Levi, they didn't get any land. And in Joshua chapter 18, verse 7, it says this: The Levites, however, do not get a portion among you, because the priestly service of the Lord is their inheritance. You see, their blessing from God was not land, but it was instead the ability to serve God with their lives. And their duties, their role as priest, is explained in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21, where it says this: "The Levitical priests shall step forward, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister and to pronounce blessings in the name of the Lord and to decide all cases of dispute and assault." So they were chosen. They were set apart. They were special because God chose to make an agreement with them. That's what the covenant is. They would serve God with their lives by being in charge of the spiritual aspect of this nation. And God would bless them by allowing them to be closer to his presence. This covenant was to be a covenant of life and of peace. And their spiritual rights would be life-giving for the people of Israel. The priests would bring peace between people and between people and God. That passage in Deuteronomy has two parts. They were to pronounce blessing in God's name, so they served God. They were to handle disputes between people, and so they served the people. And this covenant requires reverence and awe for God. As priests, in the book of Malachi, they have re-entered into the promised land, but they have not upheld their side of the covenant. If you remember, last week we talked about false worship, and here is the result of that false worship. And so God reminds them of what their father Levi was like. True instruction came from his mouth. Levi walked in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from sin. And this covenant that God mentions here should remind us of a different covenant, should remind us of the new covenant that God made with his people. But this time, God didn't make a covenant through Levi. He made this covenant through his son, Jesus. This is where Malachi connects with the New Testament. Jesus bore God's curse for us. Jesus was humiliated on the cross. Jesus took the sin of the world upon himself so that we wouldn't have to. Jesus rose again in 3 days so that we would be set free from sin and from shame. And because of this, because of the life that Jesus lived and the sacrifice that he made for us, this new covenant was formed. A covenant of life and of peace. But more than that, a covenant of eternal life and eternal peace. And through faith in who he is and what he has done for us, we get to be a part of that covenant too. And in this new covenant, really, all of us have become priests. Let me show you what I mean. This is why Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness to his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." In this new covenant, we don't have to go through priests to get to God. We are priests. But if all of us are priests, then all of us have roles and responsibilities, right? We can see these from the book of Malachi. We all must proclaim blessings in God's name. We all must handle disputes between people. We all must speak true instruction from God's word. We all must walk in peace and righteousness. And we all must turn many away from sin. This isn't just my job as the pastor. This is the job of all of us who are in Christ. And so, do you think of yourself as a priest? Does this look like your life? See, all of us have the role of spiritual leadership, but here we have to think beyond the walls of the church. You are a spiritual leader in your family, at your workplace, at school, at your hobby. Wherever you go and whatever you do, there are opportunities to minister to people around you. So think about this with me for a second. How can you do these things this week? It might seem daunting, a daunting task to be a priest and a minister to people. But all of these things, Jesus did perfectly. If we need help, we can turn to the life of Jesus, the life that he lived, the things that he said. We can aim to be more like him, and we can point other people to him. God's curse may be scary to us, but really God's covenant is glorious. The fact that he has chosen us, set us free from sin and from death, that we can have eternal life in him, God has given us a way out. May we rejoice in that this morning. But we have one more section this morning, so let's turn back to look at the cause of the curse in the first place. Let me read Malachi chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty, and people seek instruction from his mouth. But you have turned away, or you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have cursed you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law. In these final three verses, God elaborates on what it is exactly that the priests have done to receive his curse. He talks specifically about their teaching. He says, the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge. The priests were messengers for God. People looked to them for insight into how they should live their lives. And their job was to communicate what God had said to his people. Their job was to preserve knowledge, which meant to preserve the tradition that had been passed down from generation to generation amongst the Jewish people, the oral tradition and the written tradition. But they turned away from all of that, and they instead started to teach a new way, which was really their way. They twisted the law just a little bit for their own benefit, and for the benefit of those that they liked, or those that they had influence over. And so by this teaching, they had caused others to stumble. Other people followed them into this new teaching and this new way of doing things, and so they were leading Israel into sin. Right? And we can think of many examples in history in which this has happened. Right? We think about the Kool-Aid cult, or the cult in Waco, Texas, right? People that have sprung up with a new teaching and who have led people astray. This is similar to what the Jewish leaders were doing. You see the corruption, the poverty, the injustice that we know is present here in the book of Malachi is a direct result of this new way of teaching from Israel's priests. This break from tradition was causing Israel and its people to suffer. And in doing this, they had violated God's covenant with Levi. And so if all of us are priests, then we need to be careful not to repeat these same mistakes. We must preserve knowledge, sticking to the truth that God has given us through his word, not letting that be influenced or changed, but instead sharing that truth with the people around us. We must honor the covenant that God has given us, the new covenant through Jesus. This is why we take communion. We must not show partiality. We must put our biases aside and make decisions based on integrity and on truth. And the church has, in many ways over its history, messed up in this area. The church, by some, is not known for being a place without bias or being a place with integrity. But we have an opportunity to change that, right, as priests. What we should get from this last section is this, and really from the sermon. When God places people in positions of spiritual leadership, it comes with increased responsibility. The priests, they were at the top. And when they began to disrespect and dishonor God, began to trickle down to the people. And this is really the cost of spiritual leadership, that our actions not only affect us, but they affect everyone around us. It's a blessing, really, when we affect people in positive ways and we lead people to change and we see lives being restored and people coming to faith in Jesus, right? And this is a blessing to be a priest, but it's also a burden that we carry, because we really have an opportunity as well to affect people in negative ways as well. And I don't share this to scare us all, but to remind us of the role that we have and that we need to take it seriously. And for us to evaluate how we're doing as the priesthood of all believers and as a church made up of priests, may we, as a church, as spiritual leaders, as priests, may we use our spiritual leadership to be a blessing to other people. Not to keep it for ourselves, not to use it for our own advantage, but to use it for the sake of other people. This passage, this warning to the priests of Israel, it's not directly directed at us, but it is something that we can take seriously. We can be reminded of how seriously God takes the role that we have, and in turn, we can use it to be a blessing to other people. Let me pray for us. God, this morning, this warning is a serious one, one that we need to be reminded of. God, may you remind us that we are spiritual leaders, wherever we go. May we see opportunities to minister to the people in our lives around us. May our ministry not stay in the walls of this church, but may we go out to the places where we can be priests and we can minister to others. This might be a scary warning for us. It's a burden to be spiritual leaders. But God, this is what you have called us to as people and as a church. May we use it for the sake of your glory, bringing people to you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.